hours after Israel struck a school in central Gaza, killing 30 people, most of them children. A rocket attack on the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights hit a football pitch, killing at least 12 people, also including children and teenagers. Israel has blamed Hezbollah, the Lebanese militant group with close links to Hamas, but Hezbollah has denied any involvement. That denial has been rejected by Israel, whose Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed that Hezbollah would pay a heavy price. And the country's Foreign Minister Israel Katz has said that we are nearing a moment when we face all-out war. Fawaz Gurjez is Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics, an expert on the region. I spoke to him a short time ago and put it to him that Hezbollah were denying responsibility for the killings and asked him who else could have or would have carried out an attack like this.
Well, really, first of all, I don't have evidence. I don't have any information. But you have multiple groups in Syria, in Iraq, the Houthis, including Hezbollah. It would have come from any of the particular groups, even though some Lebanese and Hezbollah members accuse Israel of basically creating this particular tragedy in order to carry out all attack against Hezbollah. But I think we have to wait and see, you know, what the evidence shows. I think the bigger point to keep in mind is that we have been warning, repeatedly warning, in the past 9 months, that really it takes a spark to trigger all-out war. The longer the conflict goes in Gaza, the higher the risks of a wider regional conflict. And the clashes between Israel and Hezbollah have been steadily and dangerously escalating in the past few months. I fear that the strike on the Golan Heights, on the occupied Golan Heights, could really provide such a spark for all-out war between Israel and Hezbollah, unless cool heads basically prevail on yes. both sides.
And the Israeli foreign minister said today that we are nearing all-out war. Do comments like that lead you to believe that is the direction of travel that Israel is intent on now?
Well, Israel has been warning for the past several months that it's readying its forces for a decisive invasion of southern Lebanon. Repeatedly, almost every single top officials has said so. And my fear is that Israeli leaders are basically hoping that Hezbollah would miscalculate. And basically, they could really try to basically blame Hezbollah for any kind of escalation or all-out war. I mean, I think at the end of the day, everyone knows, including the Americans, including the European Union, that unless the guns fall silent in Gaza, the war itself could really escalate further into all-out war, into regional conflict. My hope is that the United States, I hope that only American active diplomatic intervention could prevent such a possibility. But we have seen the Israeli prime minister in the past 9 months, he does not really listen to the Biden administration, especially now that the Biden administration, President Biden, has stepped down and there is a transitional period. There's a lot of chaos and dust in the United States. My fear is that Benjamin Netanyahu could really see this particular transitional moment as a golden opportunity to go after Hezbollah and change the balance of power on the Lebanese-Israeli border.
The victims of this attack were not from a Jewish community. They were from the Druze faith, which is an ethnic minority in the region. Does the fact that they were not Jewish make a difference here in terms of the response we can expect from Israel?
I don't think so. I think, in fact, what Israeli leaders are trying to do is to really use this tragedy. And it's a big tragedy. And by the way, for your listeners, it's a horrible, horrible tragedy. Yet we need to remind your listeners that more than 15,000 Palestinian children have been killed by Israel's war in Gaza. That what Israeli leaders are trying to do is to basically use this tragic accident to show that the Druze, the Druze are Arabs, they're a minority, but they're still Arab, in the occupied Golan Heights, and basically send a message to the entire Druze communities community in Israel and other minorities in Israel that they are citizens and Israel would exact vengeance for any attacks on them. So this is basically, and Benjamin Netanyahu, when he delivered his speech in front of the U.S. Congress on Wednesday, he also tried to basically send a message about the diversity and the unity of Israeli society. It's not just the Jews in Israel. They are Druze, they are Arabs, they are Africans. So this is part of Benjamin Netanyahu's strategic message to the Americans in particular.
And as you've been saying, Professor Gerges, the big fear is of a wider war. To what extent does that now depend on what happens next and on the severity of Israel's response?
Look, we know that Hezbollah does not really want all-out war. They have repeatedly said so. All-out war does not really serve any interests of Hezbollah. Lebanon is facing a catastrophic economic and social crisis. Iran has repeatedly said it does not really want war. The Americans have made it very clear that neither the Iranians nor the nor Hezbollah wants all-out war. At the end of the day, the question really facing the United States and the international community and Israel itself, does going to war against Hezbollah serve its interests in the long term? I mean, Israel, despite its military, vast military prowess, supported by the United States and Germany and other states, has failed to really break the backbone of Hamas. Hezbollah is 10 times more powerful than Hamas. A war against Hezbollah will basically take years. Hezbollah will fight for years, not just months. And Israeli leaders have to take this into account, even though they can really destroy Lebanon, they could really turn Lebanon into another Gaza. But the question facing Israeli leaders, what are the costs to Israeli society? Because Hezbollah has the capacity and the will to inflict major, major harm on Israeli society.
That was Fawaz Gerges, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics, speaking to me earlier.